Hi, this is the On the Keys podcast, and I'm your host, David Kaiser. Thanks for tuning in. On this show, the inner workings of music, and the latest and greatest for the piano. Also stories, lore, and an altogether relaxing and educational good time. Where history is important, but new composers given their due. It's the On the Keys podcast, a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Please subscribe wherever you can find podcasts, and tell your friends. Upbeat, tonic, adagio, allegro,
trill, mordant.
Mordant, trill, polyrhythm, hydraulis, polyrhythm, sinastra. Movement 2. Your compositions. This part of the show features new works for the piano. On the Keys is actively searching for your piano compositions. Composers of all ages are invited to send me, David Kaiser, your work for broadcast. Send me an email at keys@scpublicradio.org. Recorded at Daniel Recital Hall at Anderson University, the South Carolina School of the Arts. Fuga and Terna by Catherine Norman. First, we need an introduction. This is a brief overview of the Fugue number 24 from the Well-Tempered Clavier, Book 1 by Bach. This fugue is unique that the subject, or the main theme of the fugue, actually uses all 12 pitch classes. And in normal speak, that's just all of the notes you can play on the piano that are unique notes. So all 12 of them you hear in this subject. So in that sense, it's one of the first 12-tone compositions. Here's the main theme or the subject. It's just 3 measures long, and it includes all 12 notes. It's in the key of B minor, and some Bach scholars and other musicians have said that the key of B minor for J.S. Bach is the darkest of keys. So in a sense, Catherine Norman, the composer that you'll hear in a few moments, picks suitable subject matter to be influenced by, because her piece is also rather dark in theme. And in that piece, you'll hear this G-sharp A dissonant trill, and this is a good hanging-on point. And if we're in the key of B minor, that's home base. Here's how the trill sounds. Rather sinister element. I'm going to play a few more measures of this piece and point out a few salient details. Theme in the left hand, like a lament. Here's the trill. Third entrance of the theme. Fourth entrance. And that is the exposition, or the opening introduction of the fugue, where the subject is heard in all 4 voices, because it's a 4-voiced fugue. Now, what I find very interesting in this piece is the contrast between this heartbreaking, pleading, almost desperate theme with a beautiful sequence that just seemingly goes on forever. Now, a sequence is just a musical pattern repeated up a step or down a step. So here's a really simple sequence. Now we're going to sequence it up. Here we go, up again. Box is, of course, more complicated than that. So I'm going to continue with the statement of the subject in the soprano voice, and I'll keep going. And that's the first wonderful sequence. Now there's going to be a few interruptions of the main theme, as if the despair is trying to come back. Not quite. Here it is. Theme in the bass. Now here's a good place to stop, and I want to talk about fugues for just a moment, because I don't get to talk about them very often. Now fugues can be really fun for the listener. I know they are for the player, because they're really hard to play correctly. But for the listener, they can also be engaging pieces of music if you try and pick out a certain voice over the others. Follow a line the whole way through. That's a challenge, especially in these four-voiced fugues, because there are, well, four voices to follow along to. In Catherine Norman's piece, which you'll hear in a moment that's based on this fugue, there is a singular voice talking amidst the music. I wonder if you can get ready for that experience by already listening to a certain voice. So I'm going to continue where I left off in the fugue, and I'm going to help you along a little bit, and I'll bring out the voice. So let's choose together. How about we just bring out the top voice, or listen to the top voice? That seems to be the easiest. That's the soprano voice. And I'll try to point it out as much as I can. And the amazing thing is, while this wonderful, beautiful melody or top voice is going on, there is so much happening below it. There's just a whole world of music in a fugue that's waiting to be discovered. And that's why playing a fugue is always the best way of getting to know it and marveling over its construction. Okay, so soprano voice. Now here it's getting increasingly more difficult to listen to the top voice, because one very special thing is happening. And Bach loves to do this, and to do this in a beautiful manner is extremely difficult. It's called stretto. That's entrances of the theme or the subject, all piled on top of each other. So if you are getting distracted by the left hand or the lower voices, I don't blame you, because much of the stretto was happening in the left hand. I'll see if I can point out each beginning of the fugue subject this time. I'll start a little later. So this is called stretto. Left hand. Nothing yet. Now another voice. Another one. Another one. And it calms down again. Now when that happens, the music is brought to a whole new level of excitement and tension. I apologize about that wrong note in there. I was trying to talk. Interesting, in the middle of this fugue, you don't hear that beautiful, very humane sequence. It's all of the dreary subject, pounded out in every assortment of keys. So it's not until nearing the end of the piece do we hear the beautiful sequence. So let's go closer to that part. Now, all this explanation of this fugue was just a way to get you introduced to Catherine Norman. She told me she has an obsession with this piece, and I wanted you to know how this piece ticked. I think you'll find her piece quite beautiful and haunting.
Hello, my name's Catherine Norman, and I'm a composer and a writer, and I also play the piano. And you're going to hear my piece Fuga Interna begin, which is the last in a series called Fuga Interna, or rather the last to date, and is for piano, and in this case with electronic forces as well, a sort of soundscape that goes on around the piano. So all these Fuga Interna pieces are based on my obsession, I think is the word really, with the Bach fugue, keyboard fugue from the Well-Tempered Clavier, book one in B minor, which is the last in the book. And as you may know, it's an amazing large-scale fugal work. And it's a really weird, rather dissonant piece, really, in its way. But I've always loved playing it and loved aspects of it. And in a way, it's become something that's like a composition teacher for me. At times I play it every day, and at times not for a while, but it's an old friend. So each of my Fuga Interna pieces are based on some aspect of that fugue that I love, but they're not in any way trying to imitate it. They're really sort of putting a microscope on little tiny moments or features that are fascinating to me. For instance, the whole fugue starts with what's called the fugue subject, the opening melody on which it's based, which is very dissonant and strange. And in the very first of the pieces I wrote, I compressed that into two chords and made a slow meditative piece, which is just based on these two dissonant opposed sonorities. And actually in the next fugue, I quoted that piece by myself and then built on another feature. And I've done that throughout the pieces until this one, the last to date, which quotes a little bit from all my previous pieces. And you don't need to know that, it's a personal quirk. But one thing that might be interesting to you is that the soundscape that you hear going past behind the live piano is derived from a recording made of the very first piece in the series, a recording made by a wonderful pianist called Philip Mead. And by strange coincidence, he had at one time been the teacher of the person who then commissioned me to write this piece, Xenia Pestova. Now in this piece, I wanted to combine aspects of the fugue and my love of the music with a sort of narrative, a poetic narrative about something to do with it in a way. And my mum, like so many people's parents, is elderly and has Alzheimer's now and is suffering from quite advanced dementia. And that was very much on my mind at the time, and how memory, whether it's memories of music or memories of your life or the people you know, is so fundamental to who we are. And my mum was my first piano teacher, and I have very strong memories of, you know, at the age of 7 or 8, I think she'd got so fed up with me noodling on the piano that she sat down and said, "Look, put your hand on middle C, and here we go." So I wrote a poetic text about that relationship, really, remembering that, because she can no longer remember that. And that became part of the piece, the essential part of the piece that's going on in the sound world around the solo piano. So it's about the fact that memory is what makes us, and it's about aging and memory, and also the fact that we see our parents in our own bodies, really. You know, you can look down at your hand and see your hand is very similar to your mum's, for instance, or you suddenly notice the way you stand or something you do that you know your parents do too. So I hope you enjoy the piece. It's although it's about a difficult subject, it's certainly not meant to be a sad piece, perhaps a haunting piece. And it's an attempt by me to integrate text and a subject with my response to the music of a composer and a particular work that is essential to my own being as well. She said,
lift your finger, that's right.
Put your hand here beside mine. Put your hand here beside mine.
Where the black key meets the white.
She said,
where the black key meets the white.
She said, lift your finger. That's right. Now, down again.
Lift your finger. That's right.
She said, lift your finger. Now, down again.
She said,
here.
She said, and listen.
And listen.
She said, a simple act of causality. She said, She said, lift your finger, that's right. The first notes begin.
One day you will look down at your hand and see your mother's underneath the surface. The way the skin has creased into old age. The way the knuckles have thickened. The way the fingers move and stretch. The way things fall. She forgets things now. I place my hand beside hers. I place my hand beside hers to steady her in the fog where life is no longer black or white. Where life is no longer black or white. Her small hand, her small hand against mine. Her small hand against mine. She says, I play the piano sometimes. She says, I play the piano sometimes. I sing. I sing sometimes. I still know the old song. She says, I still know the old song.
I sing sometimes. I still know the old songs. She said, I still know the old songs.
She is losing herself gradually in parts. She says, things no longer follow one after the other. She says, there is less and less to remember.
There is less and less to remember. The last notes begin.
You've just heard Catherine Norman's lovely piece, Fuga Interna, played by Xenia Pestova. You've been listening to Your Compositions. This part of the show features new works for the piano. On the Keys is actively searching for your piano compositions since the year 2000. Composers of all ages are invited to send me, David Kaiser, your work for broadcast. Send inquiries to keys@scpublicradio.org.